Amen. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Gracious Father, we're so thankful, Lord, that you are here to be with us, Lord, and knowing that we as your bride are learning to be as your bride, and we're just becoming sons. We're understanding our sonship, and we know that we can't do anything but what you show us first. And so, Father, with these words, we just ask you to take a hold of our thoughts today, and may they just reflect your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Well, this morning, we're going to look at the message, how it declares who you are. This is part two. So this morning, we'll continue with the thoughts on the message, declares who you are. And I said, as this will be part two. So let's open our Bibles this morning to Romans 8, 29 to 30. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate, that means predetermined, to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Now, have you ever thought about what that really means? I mean, it's quite astounding, because we're going to look at it today, and it's very astounding. In fact, I'm going to get into this, I don't know, maybe next week or the week after, but I'm going to look at the DNA of God and show you that actually this, to be conformed, God brought forth his word in the Son, and then when he brought it into flesh, he actually placed his DNA into the Son, and how each of us has the DNA of God. Because remember, Brother Brown said God's thoughts are his attributes. All right? Well, what's an attribute? It's like a chromosome, it's like a DNA structure. And in the DNA, it tells you everything that you are. And that's actually, so we're going to look at, as a man thinketh in his heart. How many of you have all your thoughts of God, okay? That's what I want to say. That's your DNA. That's who you are. That's who you are. That's who he saw you as before the foundations of the world. And it just blows your mind when you look at all of this. So I'm going to get into that later, but... So we're looking at, to whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son, to be conformed, see, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. And we know that we must be conformed to the image if we are to become joint heirs with him. Because we have shown many quotes from Brother Ram that if you're not the right kind of a son, you are still a son, but there will be no inheritance, okay? You're going to make it on the other side. Don't worry about that. You know, you might not have it all together, but you're going to be there. You just won't be in the New Jerusalem. So, being conformed to the image of the firstborn son is essential to receive adoption as sons. Now, this morning we'll look at Ephesians 1 and 4. According as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him, or in his presence, that means in love. You know, if God is holy, then he says, be also holy. Okay, now how do you do that? Because you got to be in him. Because he's the only one. All right. Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself. I feel tall this morning. I don't know if it's, maybe I'm not sitting down. I don't feel like sitting down. So maybe I will, but... You know, this morning I feel good. So, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. All right, so it's God's will. It's God's good pleasure that you're snapped to, right? It's not, oh, I'm afraid, you know, I better snap to. It's nothing you can do. It's what God's conforming you to. All right, you put your hand in a bowl of clay and you can mold and shape it into whatever you want to. Now, if you want to make yourself an ashtray, try it. But God's made you into a beautiful vessel, okay? Romans 8:15. For you've not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit, that's God's Spirit, beareth witness with our spirit. See, it's not our spirit bearing witness with him. You know, you've got all these Pentecostal people, Baptist people, Catholic people, all these denominations, and they, oh, I bear witness with God. And it doesn't say this. It says the Spirit, God's Spirit, bears witness with our spirit. In other words, hey, my kids, those are my kids. That we are the children of God. They're my kids. And how does the Spirit bear witness with our spirit? That's John 14, 12. God sees in you what he did himself. Now you say, how did he do it himself? Because he showed the Son what to do, and the Son stepped into the image or the vision and did it. Remember, the expression, the Son, the expression of God's DNA, the Son, did what was in the mind of the Father, and you are now preparing for a rapture, a resurrection. You are preparing to go home. And so you are actually doing what God saw you doing before the foundations of the world. Can I have an amen to that?
Amen.
All right, amen, all right. So that's John 14, 12 in a nutshell. If your spirit is the same as his spirit, then your nature is the same and you will live the same. Now remember, that doesn't mean you're a goody two-shoes. It means you can take up the whip when you have to, all right? It means you can go in and whip out, you know, the money changers and whatever, okay? It doesn't mean that you're always, oh, Lord bless you, my brother. You know, we're so nice and we're so elegant and we talk fine like, you know, the guys on TV do, right? Everything's positive, everything's nice. No, it's not. I'm sorry, but this world you're living in is a pre-hell, okay? So, and we're experiencing what we shouldn't be, but we are, okay? So that's John 14, 12. If your spirit is the same as his spirit, then your nature is the same, and you will live the same life, speak the same words he spoke. And your actions will be the same as what his actions were. And you won't do anything until the Father shows you first what to do, just like Jesus did. So, you know, Brother Vail spent about 10 sermons on active and passive faith. You remember that? All right. That's just when you come in, right around that time. And, you know, he said, the people aren't getting it. The people just don't get it. And we sat in a hour and a half session on a Wednesday night, and we went through Ephesians chapter 1, and each person, whether a child or adult, read a verse, and then we said, now, my definition to them was passive is God doing it. It's all about God. It's God. Active faith is not your doing it, but your response to what God has done. All right? Like Noah built the, yeah, Noah. I said, I think last week I said Moses, but it is Noah. Noah built the ark. That was his active faith from a passive revelation God had given him. Okay? We go through the entire Bible, you know, the book of Acts, the book of Hebrews, chapter 11. You know, by faith, so-and-so did this. By faith, so-and-so did this. And so that was their active faith, to a revelation. See, faith is a revelation. Well, then what is active faith? It's an action based on a revelation, all right? Now, and your actions will all be the same as his. And you won't try to do anything. You won't. See, this is the problem with works, okay? Works is what man can do for God. Oh, I'm going to please God. I'm going to be the right kind of a person. I'm not going to say nothing offensive because, you know, I'm holy. I'm righteous. And you're going to hell because he says all your righteousness is as filthy rags. So it's not about what kind of a person or personality you have. It's about believing God, what he said, his vindicated word. And then if there's anything to be done by you as an individual, God's going to do it and just happen to use your vessel. Okay, that's it. That's why no prophet can brag about, look what I did. Because Brother Bram said, you put your finger in a bucket of water and pull it out, and the hole that you left in water is how much God needs you. So God don't need any of us here, but we need him.
Amen.
All right? And notice that as we read on, oh, I'm just happy up here. Paul ties our adoption with being manifested sons, and he says the whole creation is now groaning to see these sons manifested as sons should be manifested. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be glorified together. Now, this is very important because the word glorified is endoxazo, or en meaning in, doxa meaning the opinions and values and judgments of God, his word. That's his attributes, that's his DNA. And then zoe, that's life. So it's the word in your life. It's etched into you like a message. Did you know your DNA is a message? Not like a message. It is a message. I'm going to get into that. I better not give it all away. But anyway, and you know, some of these things I'm teaching you, I taught years and years ago, some 10 years ago, some 20 years ago. But the people weren't ready for it then. They just weren't ready. It's just like, you know, Josh and Nathan, you know, you were what, little children when Brother Vail preached on passive and active faith. So you may have missed that part of his ministry. And he was so upset with the church because they wouldn't get it. And in an hour and a half session, our church got it when we went around the circle. And we had one miss the first time in Ephesians 1, chapter 1. But we went through all six chapters, and never one time did we get a miss. Everybody got it. Is that God, or is that my response to God? And it's just that simple. When you understand that, then you understand, hey, I don't have anything to add to God's program. It's his program. I don't have anything to add to the third pole. It's the prophet's third pole. Okay? It's the prophet's tent. It's the prophet's little box back there. And I'm not going to be afraid because, you know what? God spoke of it before the foundation of the world, and I'm going to be a participant. So why would I be afraid to enter a box and receive a body change when I know the word says it's all things are going to work together for my good? Oh, that's so wonderful. So we look at the endox of God, his values, his opinions. That's very important. His judgments expressed in your zoe. That's John 14:12. That's simple. For I reckon that the suffering of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Oof, oof, oof. The manifested word in who? Us. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who has subjected the same in hope. Yeah, we sure hope so. Believe so. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the sons of God. You think about all those little creatures. They're groaning. They can't wait. You know, there'll be horses and things on the other side because Brother Bram said he saw his dog, his horse. There'll be animals on the other side. Jesus came riding on a horse. You see? But after the fall, there's been so much murder and deceit and everything else. Animals just, it's all about just trying to stay alive. They don't understand what we do. But on the other side, they will. The lion will lay down with the lamb. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also. We have the first fruits of the Spirit, even ourselves, groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. Now, see, your body is not the DNA of God. I'm sorry. It's not. But your soul is. But this body is of the earth. Now, in a sense, you could say, well, that's okay. That was in God's thinking to do so. But see, when God planted all the seeds in the earth in Genesis 1, you were there. Your body was there, but your soul wasn't there yet to receive that body. But not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruit of the Spirit. We that are born again, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. And so we have people got really upset when we were preaching on the spirit of adoption years ago. You know, they said, oh, Brother Bill's not preaching that. So, well, he did preach that in 72, but they weren't even around in 72. They didn't come till 83, 84, 85. They missed all of the early ministry of Brother Vail that was trying to get our spirits in line with the Word. They even missed, I think, passive and active faith. Lots of them did. So we see in Galatians 4:1, now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, differeth nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all. He doesn't have an arrogant attitude. You know, like the elites, their children, you know, they're all potheads and fornicators and, you know, whatever. They think they're above everybody, and so they can act like they want to. And but we're sons of God. Amen. Well, shouldn't we be acting like God? Huh? That's right. But we're under tutors and governors until the time. Who's the tutor and governor? The Holy Spirit. Until the time appointed of what? The Father. Not your appointing. I mean, if it was up to me, I'd be out of here. I think you feel the same way. So it's the time of the Father. He appoints it. Even so we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. That's the baptism of the Holy Spirit. The same Spirit that indwelled Jesus when he was crucified is in you. Again, the Spirit of his Son into your heart. So if the Spirit of his Son is in your heart, how are you going to act? How are you going to speak? What kind of works are you going to do? John 14:12 is the answer. The same that I do, you're going to do. Wherefore thou art no more a servant but a son, and if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. Through Christ, remember, it's all. There's a channel there. To redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. Now notice then, John 14:12 is the answer to adoption and placing of sons. It is not you going out and doing the things Jesus did because you want to do them. It's because God wants you to do them. You understand? John 14:12 is the answer to how you manifest as a son of God. How did Jesus manifest himself as a son of God? It says, though he were a son, yet what? He learned obedience by the things that he suffered. How many trials do you go through because God is teaching you something? Huh? That's exactly. Because John 14:12, he said, whosoever believes in me, the works that I do, the things that I do, the things that I say, the actions I take, the life that I live, will live also. Like in 1 John 3, I think it is, verse 12, he says, if you echo the Son, you're going to echo his life. Right? Now, Brother Brown makes it very clear that John 14:12 is for every believer, as we see in this next quotation. Now, I got a big question for you. How many of you, raise your hands, kids, raise your hands. How many of you are believers? All right. Then this is for you. John 14:12 is for you. From question and answers, 172, Brother Branham, how can any man do the works of Christ unless he was Christ? In other words, if I'm not Christ, can I do it still? That's what it is. Unless he was Christ? Well, sure. Let's take John now, just a minute. St. John 14, the chapter. And I want you to look at this now, if you can catch right quick. St. John 14:12, I believe it is. we'll get to it right quick, and look what Jesus said about this, all right? Verily, verily, I say unto you, he, whoever it is. So if you're reading in your Bible, and you're reading, and it says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he, and Brother Branham says, whoever it is. Oh, now I've got an interpretation, vindicated interpretation of whoever it is. I'm not guessing. He that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also. Any man. Oh, wow, he said it again, but he used a different word. Before he said whosoever it is, now any man. The man himself can't be Christ, but the works of Christ will follow every believer. See? He'll do the works of Christ in any man. He that believeth in me, the works that I do shall he do. Not that I shall do, he shall do, not I. But he believes in me and has confessed his faith in me and died him out to himself, and my spirit dwells in him, and he becomes a part of me. Now that don't make him Christ. It makes him part of Christ with the rest of the church, all right? He is not Christ. Now listen, we're talking about Brother Branham because he's any believer, isn't he? But he's not Christ. See, too many people look to Brother Branham as a second coming. They looked at Brother Branham as God came in flesh. That's Brother Branham. No, it's not. God appeared like he did Abraham. He appeared to Abraham before Abraham received the what? Promised what?
Son.
The promised son. So it's the same thing happened in this hour. God appears. But it makes him a part of Christ with the rest of the church. Oh, I left that out. I thought only one person could do it. He said, but the rest of the church, all right. He is not Christ because that would be Antichrist, you see. He would be taking away from Christ. But he can do the works of Christ in any believer, all right. And from Christ is the mystery, he said. They said, we receive the Holy Ghost when we believe. The Bible said, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believe? Now, there's a fine point there. The Baptists believe when you believe. I'm a believer. So was Satan. Satan was a believer. So you can't just say, well, I'm going to order it this way. God has a specific order since you believed. All right? Now, there's a difference. See? That's right. See? And they say, well, we're the Catholic Church. We started early. We did this. And the Methodists say, we are based upon the Bible. You know what? What denomination didn't get their start believing one scripture in the Bible? And then they put a period after that, and off they went. And Brother Brown said, when they organized his death. Well, the Methodists say, we're based upon the Bible. Jesus said, these signs shall follow them that believe. Now, where's it at? Uh-huh. See, right? The works that I do shall you do also, every creature, every person that believes in him. Now, where is it at? Come on. That's his words. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words shall never fail. Never fail. So those who believe that this is only William Branham, they're already a failure because where's it at? Now, where is it at? See? Oh, it just shows. What is it? It's a hybrid condition. They've got the message, but they've got their own thinking, too. From Christ is the mystery, Brother Brown said, St. John 14:12, he said, He that believeth on me, the works that I do, he shall do also. Well, that was for another age. That was for only one man. That was only for a prophet. Well, what about Paul and Peter and James and John? What about John Wesley? Oh, he didn't have it. Listen, John Wesley laid his hands on a horse that had a broken leg and got up on the horse and rode another 300 miles on his trip. Yeah. That was for another age. There you got your picture wrong again. Notice his explanation for the word he, in he that believeth is anybody. In his sermon, The Countdown, he said, his first decision is a perfect decision and has to ever remain the same, and we know it, Father. Now, he said, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also. He cannot change that decision. He said, these signs shall follow them that believe. If the life of Christ, this is a key right here. If the life of Christ be in you, if the mind of Christ, then we're concerned and do the things of Christ. He said, these signs shall follow them that believe, every believer that believes in him. Again, are you all believers? All right. So this is for you. This is to show you that you are more than capable, because it's not you anyway, it's God. About Jesus, he said, now look, when Jesus left the earth, here's what he said. These things that I do shall you do also, even more than this shall you do. Greater, which is really more. He couldn't do any greater, but you could do more of it. More than this shall you do, for I go unto my Father. And he said, a little while in the world, that's the unbeliever, he seeth me no more. That'll be finished for the world when I leave here in this physical form. I'll be gone, and that's all that they'll ever see, but yet ye shall see me. Now watch what he promised. But he said, I'll be with you even to the end of the world. Now who is ye? And who's the unbeliever? There's unbelievers in every generation, and there's ye's in every generation. Yet ye shall see me. He promised to return into, not unto, into his church and do the same things that he did when he was here on earth. And the Bible said that he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And hasn't he done all things well this week? Has he? The blind seen, the cripples walked, the spastics raised up, sin has been rebuked, the visions has come, everything that's been said had been perfect, just exactly, is that right? Sinners has been saved. People received the Holy Spirit, been born again, bore witness of the Spirit, signs and wonders has happened everywhere. They're happening in your house. Your house? Your house? All right. What is it? It's Jesus Christ, the Son of God, not with Brother Branham, not with just Brother Branham. This is his words, you know, for those people who only believe it was for him. But with his church everywhere, you're just as much into it and more into it than I am. Whew, that's a big statement. That is a very big statement. This just happens to be a gift. That don't mean it makes me any more than you. Probably not as much, see? He was a humble man. Yeah, he had a gift, but you know what? He wasn't the gift. People try to say, oh, Brother Branham's a gift to this age. No, Brother Branham had a gift, and that gift was God showing him everything to do. If the resurrection would come tonight, you old-timers that's fought to win the prize and sail through bloody seas would go before me, and you would deserve to go. Now, isn't that nice? That was for Don. I'm just following the road that you paved, that's all. It's just a gift. God sent it, placed it. I had nothing to do with it coming. I was born that way, and it's just a gift to glorify Jesus Christ, and not glorify, but to magnify him, bring him out, let the people see that he is here. God does that through preaching the word, through signs and wonders. He's the same Lord Jesus. Do you believe it? It wasn't me that stopped the clouds to stop the big storm in Uganda. It was God. He told me what to do. I felt like a fool, but I did it anyway, because I, in my heart, I said, well, okay. The devil said, you're going to make a fool of yourself. I said, yeah, but I'm a fool for Christ. Whose fool are you? I'd rather be a fool for Christ than be a fool for anybody else. Notice William Branham said, not just with Brother Branham, but with his church everywhere. You're just as much into it or more into it than I am. From 5 Identification of the Church of the Living God, he said, John 14:12, he gives the teaching what the church should, what? Believe? or do? He said, do. In John, the 14th chapter, 12th verse, we'll see again, says John 14, 12. So we read it and make it official, all right? John 14, the 12th verse. Verily, verily, I say unto you. You know what verily means? It means truly, truly, or of a truth, I shall say unto you. I'm not joshing you. Sorry, Josh. I'm not putting you on. I'm saying unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go to my Father. And Brother Branham simply said, that's more of them. That's the message of the church. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever, living in the church, King of the church, raised from the dead, same yesterday and today and forever. Performing the same works, doing the same things that Jesus did, that's the message of the church. And yet, it's false doctrine to many. It's a message of the church. How can it be false doctrine if it's a message of the church? You see, they got their thinking wrong. These people, these same people, Brother Vail spent 10 sermons on, trying to teach them the difference between a passive faith and an active faith. They did one thing. Oh, we don't want active faith. We just want passive faith. And so they become a bunch of intellectuals studying the word, and there is no actions. And Brother Vail wasn't saying that. He was teaching there's a difference. You got to rightly divide what God is telling you to do and what you tell yourself to do. And what God tells you to do, you do it. If the church isn't teaching that, it's teaching some false theology. Wow. If you're not teaching John 14, 12, you're teaching a false theology. That's what Jesus commanded them to preach. Now let me emphasize again, he said, if the church isn't teaching that, it's teaching some false theology. Yeah, that's all they got is theology. So what did a vindicated prophet say that John 14, 12 was? From his sermon, Take on the Whole Armor of God, William Branham said, John 14, 12, Jesus said, he that believeth in me, the works that I do shall he do also. What is it? It's God in the church in these five predestinated offices, backing up every word that he said with the Holy Spirit himself in there. Now, I am not going to say things because I think I'm somebody, but I am a fivefold minister. And I know that God has backed me up all over the world with signs that follow. It's changing storms. Coming as a rainbow, three rainbows. That wasn't, I was in the church preaching and God was doing the actions. When God stopped the storm, he told me what to say, and I just said what he said, and he stopped the storm. It wasn't me. And then when I was going to do it the second time, he said, no, you don't have to do it because they'll try to make you Brother Brown, but why don't you ask them to do it? Their sons also. So I asked them and they started praying and did the same thing. God will do it for any of you if you stand on his word and don't think, oh, what are people going to think about me if I stand on his word? Oh, you poor little person of no faith. That's just, you know, just ridiculous. When you consider what your neighbor thinks more than what God thinks, you haven't even been born again. I'm sorry you haven't. And that's hard words, but it's true. When you can have the emphasis that Christ had, he said, my meat is to do the will of my Father. Then if your meat is to do his will, you don't care what anybody says. You really don't. You only care what God says. And so it says, Brother Brown said, it is God in the church in these five predestinated offices, notice, backing up every word that he said with the Holy Spirit himself there. That's what he did with those rainbows. I was just simply preaching that we're sons. God backed it up. Brother Brown said that when the three rainbows appeared to him, he said that was to vindicate that everything he had taught for 30 years was true. You see, people think a prophet, oh, he's got a gift and he can maybe prophesy, but watch his doctrine, he might be off. Listen, if he's a true prophet of God, his doctrine is going to come from God. If he's a true fivefold ministry, his doctrine comes from God. All right? Yeah, that's right. So don't think that, you know, well, you know, I don't like his attitude. I don't like the way he looks, you know. He's a white man, I don't like him because I'm black. Or he's a black man, I don't like him because he's white. It has nothing to do with it. Of one blood, of one spirit. All right, we're all of one blood. Which is the word made manifest, proving his resurrection, proving that he lives. Proving that who lives? He lives. Who was it that appeared to those people in the form of a rainbow? And everybody, even the unbelievers that were next door, said, "My, whatever it was, he was alive. I could see him breathing. I mean, he was in and out. It was just like, woof, woof, woof." Proving that he lives. All other religions are dead. Their forms are dead. There's only one that's right, and that's Christianity, because Christ is a living in the church of Christ. Christ is a living in the church of Christ. Amen. Making his word manifest, that means unveiled, for he is the same. If it's the same word, it'll do the same thing. Oh boy. There you go. And show the same works and the same signs. Matthew 28 says so. Be with his army in them, securing them. Think of it, the great word general triumph in us. In the Messiah, Brother Branham tells us, they look like him, they act like him. Now, you don't look like him as far as you got a beard. You're wearing sandals. You know, I remember in the 70s, about 74, we had all these pop-up Jesuses all around. They were in the flower people movement. They all wore sandals, they wore gowns, they wore beards, and they were nothing but a hippie, all right? Nothing but a hippie. Oh, but we look like Jesus. Yeah. Well, are you Matthew or Mark or Luke or John? Oh, John didn't have beard. Oh, excuse me. So you can't be John. You got to be, you know. You remember that, Diane, those days? Okay. They look like him. They act like him. They are his flesh, his blood, his spirit. Amen. That's the way. Oh, I'm going to really get into this about his blood. Maybe next week. I might move it up to next week. But I've also got 4 questions from the brothers overseas. So I don't know when we're going to get to them, but we will get to them. But that's the way God's church is, his eaglets, his messiahs. They look like him, they act like him, they preach like him. They do the works that he did. The things that I do shall he do also. More than this shall he do, I go to my Father, amen. But the unbeliever will look at their person. Well, today you're not acting like John 14:12, shape up. No. John 14:12 is when God tells you to do something, you do it. It's not about your personality. It's not about whether you agree or disagree with the unbelievers. It's about believing God. These things shall follow my eaglets. Amen. They'll do just as I do. If my spirit is in them, they'll do the works that I do. If they don't do the works that I do, it's because my spirit's not in them. And God is not like a yo-yo. You got the Holy Spirit one day, you don't have it the next day. I just can't understand people's thinking. Their theology has got to go. Look, their theology is based on Pentecost. I'm sorry. It's based on a Pentecostal notion and not a Son of God notion. From his sermon, God identified by his characteristics, paragraph 31, John 14:12, he that believeth, Jesus said on me, the works that I do shall he do also. Now look, he that believeth on me, a true believer, the works that I do shall he do also. Notice, in other words, like this, he that believeth on me shall be identified by my characteristics, the works. Well, what about those people that said, well, haven't I preached in your name? Haven't I done this? Notice, haven't I done this? Haven't I done that? Haven't I spoken in your name? It's not. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about God doing it through you. It's God. So that's what he did. If I don't do the Father's works, he said, then don't believe me. And the Father spoke to the prophets. That was their characteristic, their identification. So it was with Jesus. And promise it to him that believeth, my characteristic shall do in him just as it did in me. Well, you don't have his nature. You don't have his spirit. Now, that's a pretty great promise, considering that Jesus, the firstborn and uniquely born Son of God, came forth in the image of God, his Father, himself. So that would indicate to us then that the image we are to be conformed to is that image of God that was displayed in his firstborn Son. Let me just say this. When he was raised from the dead, you see that body that Jesus was in? The body that Jesus was in, it had to be changed. The woman wanted to touch him. He said, ah, not yet. Don't touch me yet. But when he came back and walked through the wall and said to Thomas, take your hand, put it in my side, he had it changed. He was changed. He couldn't have lived forever in the body that he had before he died. You know why? Because he aged. He looked like he's 50 years old when he's only 33. How many of you look like you're 20 years older than you are? So that would indicate to us then the image that we are to be conformed to is the image of God that was displayed in his firstborn Son. And how are you going to be conformed to his image and be ready for adoption and placing? And how are you going to manifest as a Son of God without John 14:12. So, what is a seed then for this season? Huh? What's our great anticipation for this season? We missed God sending a prophet. We weren't there, but yet we hear his voice. What is our anticipation? It's a body change, isn't it? It's a resurrection, isn't it? And how are you going to be conformed to this image and be ready for adoption placing? And how are you going to manifest as a Son of God without John 14:12? So what is a seed for the season? And what is the answer to the three promises of God being conformed to the image of the firstborn Son, being manifested as sons of God, and being the right kind of a son made ready for adoption? It's John 14:12. There's your answer. Brothers and sisters, and when you see this, you will see it in every sermon Brother Branham preached. Well, Brother Vail didn't preach it. Brother Vail was 97 when he passed away. It wasn't for his age. It wasn't for his people. It was for this people now. The same people that were under 20 at the time of Kadesh Barnea went in, and all the other ones didn't. Now, I'm not saying he's lost. I'm just saying he was not for this promise of a body change, and he'll get it in the resurrection. But he won't get it being alive and going through the resurrection. You will. You'll bypass that. You'll be the only people on earth other than Elijah and Enoch who will receive a body change without having to die first. Can you imagine that? Wow. Wow. Return of Jubilee said, before I could act as a human, before I could walk like a human, before I could talk like a human, I have to be born a human. How would a knot on a tree know how I acted? You know, that's why I don't think it's good to let children watch these shows where you got talking animals and you've got, you know, talking vegetables, you know. They try to preach the gospel through vegetables. What's that sending? What message is that sending? Everybody's a son of God. No, they're not. No, they're not. Vegetables are to be eaten. Cows are to be eaten, okay? They don't talk back to you. They don't good grief, it's just, I don't know. And of course, what's it produce? It's produced a bunch of children that think that they're, men that think that they're women. Well, I can be a woman today. I can be a tree today. I can be a cat today. I can be a dog today. Well, dogs talk, don't they? I mean, I saw it on TV. I just laugh. It's a breed insanity to the people. So he says, how would a knot on a tree know how I acted? How could he ever say, I don't act like that? Of course not, you're a knot. You're a nut, all right? The only way that he could be that way would be to be born like me. That's the way organization is dead, drawing people away, because it went after a creed. But in order to be a son of God, you've got to be born of the Spirit of God. Then you become Christ-like and do the works of Christ. John 14:12, but as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. That's John 1:12, excuse me. Notice the word power means exousia, the ability to become what you already are. Oh, isn't that something? God saw you in his mind, that's eternal. In his mind, that's part of him, attributes. God saw you, that's his DNA. God saw you before the foundation of the world, what you're going to be. And he gave you the power through the baptism of the Holy Ghost to become what you are in his mind already. Wow, that's great. Which were born not of blood, that's not this flesh, see, nor of the will of the flesh, not mom and dad willing it to get together, you know, nor of the will of man, in other words, father, but no mother's will, but of God. Oh, born of God. From letting off the pressure, he said, if I told you that I had the spirit of John Dillinger, you'd expect me to have guns and be an outlaw. If I told you the spirit of an artist was in me, you'd expect me to paint some pictures. And if I told you the spirit of some great soldier, you'd expect me to know all the arms and everything because his spirit's in me. If I tell you the spirit of Christ is in me, then I should do the works of Christ. Live the kind of life that he lived and sacrifice life for the people. That's it. That's right. From a sermon, hear ye him, Brother Bram said. Now, there's where the church ought to be today. Jesus said, these things that I do shall you do also. Not you might. Not, well, when you've got enough faith to do it. Not, well, you know what, when we educate you to it. You will do. Ask anything in my name and I'll do it. Why are we scared of that? What's the matter? If Christ has clothed us with the Holy Ghost and been adopted into the family after being born again and being baptized into the body by the Holy Spirit, if it's the true witness of God, ask what you will and it'll be done for you. Then we set like and say, oh, well, that was something else. From be certain of God, he said, if I told you I had the spirit of Al Capone, you'd better call the police in and arrest me. I might have his gun. If I told you I had the spirit of some famous artist, you'd expect me to paint these hills out here, just as natural as they are. Because that's what the artist would do if I had his spirit. Well, I'm thankful I don't have his spirit. Therefore, Ella, I'm not an artist. But I'm a Christian. All right. If I have the Spirit of Christ, I'll do the works of Christ. Jesus said, if I do not the works of my Father, then believe me not. In other words, if I look amongst the message in general and I see the works of God performed certain places and not performed other places, I got to admit one thing. The Spirit of God is in one place and he's not in other places. Okay. And if the church does not do the works of Christ, then don't believe that church. You hear me? You don't believe them. Don't believe the church. It says, oh, John 14:12 is for Brother Branham only. You don't believe that church. Something's wrong there. They're not saying what the prophet said. Jesus said, these signs shall follow them that believe. And we've perverted by the works of man the doctrines of man. We only believe the parousia. We only believe the Godhead. And we argue with everybody else. you know what? You're just a theological wreck, okay? And we perverted by the works of man the doctrines of man. The Bible said in the last days they'd be heady, high-minded, and lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, truth breakers, false accusers, incontinent, and despisers of those that are good. We see it every day. And you say, well, them is communists. No, them is Christians. So-called and church members having the form of godliness but denying the power thereof. We're so used to saying, well, that's CNN, that's MSNBC, those are just unbelievers. Listen, message people doing the same thing, taking advantage of one another. I've seen business deals go sour. I had people call me from other churches, say, I lost everything in this scam that the pastor's son got into, and we lost our entire retirement, and he was laying hands on girls in the church, praying for them, putting his hands where he shouldn't put them. And so he just said, well, I'm sorry. And so they let him do it again. What do we do? I didn't even answer, I'm sorry. They're not my church. If they had the fortitude to sit under that kind of garbage, then let them sit in their rot. They ought to know better. They don't have an excuse, I'm sorry. You know, people say, well, shouldn't we do this or shouldn't we do that? I said, do what you're going to do. Like Brother Bram said, people are going to do what they're going to do. If I tell you not to do it, you're going to just go out and do it anyway. Then you know, not believe what I tell you. So people came to Brother Vail all the time and said, well, you know, can we get married? And he said, well, you've been married before? Yep. Well, then you shouldn't get married. Oh, but the Lord told us we can get married. Well, then go ahead, get married. The Lord told you, go ahead and get married. Now, he wasn't contradicting the Lord. He just said, if the Lord said so, go ahead and do it. Like Brother Bram did the same thing. Billy Paul said, well, you told one couple not to do birth control, but another couple, he said, go ahead and do it. Brother Bram said, they're going to do it anyway. So I said, go ahead and do it. Do whatever you think is pleasing to God, and you're going to be lost, but you're going to do it anyway. Well, you say, them is communists. Them is Christians, okay? Saying, oh, God did that for another age, not this age. The Bible said, from such turn away, we're living in that day, and from discerning the body of the Lord. The best witness that we have that we got the Holy Ghost is when our spirit bears record with the Word. If we call ourselves Christians and say we're filled with the Spirit, and we see that the baptism of the Holy Spirit is poured out on the believer for all ages, and our spirit tells us that that's for another age, you're wrong. That's right. When the Bible says that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever, if our spirit said, no, he's dead, he's gone, there's something wrong. Jesus said, the works that I do shall you do also. Lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world. And if our spirit pulls back from that, we haven't got the Holy Spirit. So I'll just be so bold as to say, those people that said the John 14:12 is for Levi only, they don't have the Holy Ghost. They don't have the Holy Ghost. They can't say, if they can't say what a prophet says, they don't got the Holy Ghost. I said to one preacher, I said, I'll give you 50 quotes where Brother Bram said it. And he said that, you know, that the he in John 14:12 was everybody, anybody. And he gave five different things. And the brother said, I'm not interested. I got so-and-so's. He preached it one time that, you know, it just means. And I asked that certain person, I said, did you preach it? He said, well, I didn't know. He said, I had never studied it. So just a comment I made, but I'd never studied it. And so they're going to put their eternal destination on a thing that a man that's not vindicated said, because, well, we respect the person. Well, listen, I respect a lot of people. And I don't respect a lot of people. Because a lot of people say things that they shouldn't say, all right? But I respected that person, but I didn't agree with them on that. Jesus said, the works that I do shall you do also. Lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world. And if our spirit pulls back from that, we haven't got the Holy Spirit. Now, if you have trouble with me saying this, you need to be born again. You need to get right with God, because that's a vindicated prophet said that. For the Holy Spirit will say amen to every word he wrote. Not intellectual knowledge will pull you away from it, but the Holy Spirit will say amen to his own word. He certainly will. And he's seeking and hunting and trying to find someone that he can put himself into. He longs for it. He longs to find it. From position, and Christ said, for you haven't received the spirit of bondage again to fear. See, those people that say, oh, you're just a nasty preacher because you say that, you know, most of the people in this message don't believe the message. Well, most of the people don't believe the message. If Brother Brown said there'd be maybe 500 or even as high as 1 in a million, that makes it 2,000, period. Not 1%, which make it 25,000. Not 10% of this message, which would make it 250,000. But one in a million. There's only 2.5 million claim the message. That means two. Yeah. That's pretty tough, isn't it? As in the days of Noah, when 8 souls were saved, so will it be when the Son of Man is revealed. Not going to be a whole bunch of people. It's going to be maybe 500, and that's about what we got tuned in. You know, I don't say that just us are going to make it, but because we only got about 300 of them, so... You know, there's a couple hundred out there anywhere. I'm just joking with you. But all right, so position in Christ. For you haven't received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption. If you're fearing, and I know, listen, I've known for years there's a certain people in this message that it's all about fear. If you say something about brother so-and-so, you're gone. You're going to go to hell. You know, you got to be reverent. You know, you got to take your hat off when you walk in the door of an organization, not even a church. But, you know, anyway, I don't want to get too specific with that. But it's all about fear. Well, if you don't believe Joseph is a prophet of God, he's our prophet, he's greater than Brother Branham, you're going to hell. Well, you know what? You're lost. He hasn't proven one thing, not one thing, not one vision, not one laying hands on the sick, nothing. And yet you're following him like he's greater than Brother Branham. You even, in your churches, I've heard them say, well, you know, the third Paul is the printing of the books. Well, Brother Vail said, you know, the printing of the books is a denomination. He said, what do the denominations do? The first thing they do is get themselves a printing press. Yeah. Listen, it's better, it's about time that you become a son of God. And leave all of this churchianity, all the differences between brothers and sisters, just leave it alone. It's not for you. Now, I'm not condemning anybody by what I'm saying. I'm just saying that people that have an idea that Joseph is greater than Brother Branham, they're lost. There's no word for it, nowhere. He said, you've seen your last sign. He said, Joseph won't even take up the Bible until after the millennium is on. And you notice he hasn't. Now, after you're adopted, and all right, after you're adopted, you're placed, then you understand, after the ceremony said, and you've been put into the body correctly, you're a son, sure, a daughter. When you're born again, that's your birth. But now you're positionally placed. We've not received the spirit of a fear, but we have received the spirit. We have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Which means, my God. All right. The Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we're children of God. How does it do it? You say, glory to God, hallelujah. It don't bother me. I'm a child of God. And go out and do the things that you do. The Spirit of God will do the works of God. Jesus said, he that believes on me, the works that I do shall he do also. So when the Spirit of God bears witness with your spirit, what's he doing? He's performing things using your vessel to show that you are a son in obedience to his word. That's it. For those who think Lee Vail, end-time teacher of the message, taught differently from William Branham, vindicated prophet concerning John 14:12, in his sermon Adoption, number one, February 6, 1972, Brother Vail said, "How can anybody deny John 14:12? Greater works than these should you do because I go to my Father. At that day you will know that I am in you and the Father in me and I in the Father." And so on until there's a complete oneness. When has that ever taken place? Well, you know what? This sermon was 30-some years after Brother Branham had left. And he said, when has that ever taken place? See, when has there ever been manifested the fullness of the bride? We're not talking about one or two people. So yeah, we've seen it in one or two people. Brother Bosworth, Brother Branham, different one. That's where people get all mixed up. This is Brother Vail. They all get mixed up in the stature of a perfect man. They try to make it an individual thing and it won't work. It's the church through the ages. Brother Brown's message was consistently the church coming to maturity and showing what the age produced, and everybody wants to put it on a man. You can't do that. We're talking about the bride. See, now we're coming to the age, we're coming into this age. Now, as this subject has been taught to us by Brother Branham, it is difficult for most people to see what he was driving at because they consistently confuse sonship with the placing of sons. And like I've taught here, you might be a son, but are you adoption worthy? Are you inheritance worthy? Or are you just going to have a place in the new earth? As they have been taught that the placing of sons is the resurrection and not the capstone ministry of the word and works of Christ in the bride. As they have been taught that the placing of sons is the resurrection and not the capstone ministry of the word working in the bride. Now, do you catch it? There are two things where people want to place this only for a 30 to 40 days in the resurrection, or the entire resurrection itself, and they put it in the millennium or some other place. Now, before it is finished, I am going to show you how it works all the way down the line. That is, with my understanding of it, you go the way that you want to go. But I said they don't understand the difference between ordinary sonship as a child of God in the placing of sons. Secondly, they don't realize that Brother Branham taught that there would be a capstone ministry of the word and works of Christ in the bride. Oh, I thought Brother Branham was a capstone ministry. No. It's God in his children. Notice it's a capstone ministry of the word. So don't ever forget. Listen, what good would it have done if Brother Branham would have taught us what he did and we just sit around and say, well, God sent a prophet. God sent a prophet. Oh, God sent a prophet. Oh, God sent a prophet. Parents can do that. Listen. If a supercomputer, based on logic, can tell me that William Branham was a prophet for the age based on miracles and such, then what about the 2.5 million people that claim God sent a prophet? Rock, God sent a prophet. Rock, God sent a prophet. You never hear more than that. They don't teach you what the prophet taught. Rock can't teach you what the prophet taught. That takes revelation. Notice it's a capstone ministry of what? What did he say? Of the word in the bride. Of the word in the bride. So don't ever forget that it is not about you going around and trying to work up something on your own. It is doing what God shows you to do. Jesus said, I can do what? Nothing except what? The Father shows me first. We are coming to a time when you will be told to go into a little room, but don't be afraid. All things are working together for your good. But you'll have to move your feet towards the door first if you want a change in your body. Don't sit toward the back wall and say, I don't know about that room, you know. I heard that it's an awful painful process to receive a change. You know, Brother Branham did say that. He said it'd be like a flash of lightning going through you. Well, I don't know. I don't know if I want that experience. Well, then you know what? You won't get it. I want whatever it takes to get it. All things are working together for my good. Brother Vail preached for about 10 weeks about the active and passive faith, and the people still didn't get it. They came away with passive only and no active. You know that. You were there. He said in Shalom 19, invitation to God's party, he said, we try to press ourselves. We try to make something different. Oh, this has to be done. Remember, he knows all about it. It's going to happen anyhow. Let him do it. Just commit yourself to him. In other words, get your passive and your active faith together. And don't let your active faith ever transgress and trespass on your passive faith. What's your passive faith? It's the revelation God's given you. Okay? And don't let your passive faith, that's your passive revelation, think that you can activate any type of manifestation or vindication. You can't do it. So we got a whole group of people saying, well, the voice will be the bride and she's going to speak and there'll be a resurrection. Why aren't you doing it? Oh, you love this earth? I don't love this earth. I don't like it around here. If I had the power to speak right now, I'd do it, but I don't. Why aren't you? If you say you are God, you know, you got the power, you got the voice, then do it. Or are you just silly Pentecostal-minded people? Don't let your active faith ever transgress and trespass your passive. And don't let your passive faith think that you can activate any type of manifestation or vindication. Keep the parallels straight. Again, from the message, Shalom, number 10, peace, revelation of God. So, what I'm trying to bring across here is to let you know there are certain things that this church has to recognize. If we expect to have an active faith based on our passive faith in a vindicated prophet does not let us go running off as though we were grace artists. In other words, well, Lord, didn't I pray in your name? Didn't I prophesy in your name? Didn't I do many wonderful works? And he says, I never knew you. I never told you to do those things. Huh? Now, Brother Vail taught us how active faith works. He said, in Shalom, 12 thoughts on Shalom. Jesus stood there in his great passive faith. How did Brother Bram have active faith? How could he stand and say, I challenge the armies of the world to shoot me down? If God tells me to raise Abraham Lincoln from the dead by vision, I'll stand there, and if I can't raise him, you shoot me down? Didn't Moses go down to Egypt with a stick and took on the most mighty army that the world had known at that time? Was he afraid to go? No, God told him to go. How did he have it? Because he had a passive faith. There's his passive faith. How did Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego go into the flames of fire when the man at the door that was going there to throw them in died instantly? How did they have? Because they had passive faith. And so then when they said, well, if, you know, we're not going to change, so either God lets us perish or we just stand here because we're, you know, when you have done all you can do to stand, guess what? Simply stand. So I'm going into that chamber of fire, and you know what? It didn't touch him, and the Son of God was seen right there. Wow. How did Daniel walk into a den of lions not fearing? You see, that passive faith led to an active faith. He said, I'm more than able through Christ Jesus who giveth me the victory. How did he have it? Because he had a passive faith. There's his passive faith. Points to the picture of the pillar of fire. looking right at the pillar of fire, here's his passive faith with seven angels and the embodiment of the Holy Ghost. There he was. If you and I get our eyes on God and filled with his word, that act of faith will come out. Brother, sister, there is too much talk of an act of faith, and there's no passive faith to build up. All the Christendom today are Armenians. You got some that are Calvinists, but most of them are Armenians. They believe in works. Well, if on the ledger I've done more good than I've done bad, then maybe perhaps I'll be okay when I get there. But I'll ask Peter to let me know before I get there. Yeah, right. There's no real revelation when Brother Branham himself said faith is a revelation. You try to run around healing the sick, it's not given to everybody. Try to do this, try to do that. That's not given to everybody. I'll tell you what's given. The bread has been given. Now, people want to eat the wrapper and throw away the bread. Unless you have learned to separate Arminianism from Calvinism, you've got a lot of trouble. For this is where Calvinism and Arminianism came from. Calvinism could separate the passive from the active. They could understand exactly what God said he would do and what God did. And they left it within the realms of sovereign grace. But the Arminian cannot do that. Now we realize that Calvinism went to seed under Luther, and God allowed Wesley to come on the scene and swing the pendulum back to truth by watching that vindicated prophet. He taught us that the hat had to be on the chair before he could act. And that goes for you too. You have to wait and be patient for God to tell you to move forward, and then you can step into the waters like Moses did. And remember, Brother Brown said, if Moses had not stepped into the water, it wouldn't have worked, wouldn't have opened. Moses struck the rock when God just told him to speak to the rock. You see, he acted before God. Then God would do the rest. But Moses was impatient, and God prevented him from going in at that time because of his impatience. So Moses has to come back, and he's got to be slain in Jerusalem, the very city he led the people to. But you know what? God's going to raise him up. It's already said so. So John 14:12 is not you working yourself up to anything. Well, if I pray more, if I'm sweeter in my spirit, if I'm more of a lovely Christian. It's not working yourself to anything or doing anything for God as if he needs any help, but believing God to do whatever through using your vessel as a yielded vessel. So what I'm saying is the scripture says, add to your faith patience. Okay, add to your revelation patience. And then add to your patience virtue, okay? We must wait on God first to put the hat on the chair. And that's passive faith, is waiting. Then at God's time, they will act according to the faith or the revelation. Now, I'm not trying to scare you away from active faith. I'm trying to help you to know what an active faith is, and that simply is based on a passive faith in a vindicated word. If God said it, it will happen. Do all you can do, the Bible says. When you've done all you can do to stand, he said, then just stand. Just stand. Just simply stand. All right? Now let's go back to what Brother Vail said about the capstone ministry in the bride. And secondly, they don't realize that Brother Branham taught that there would be a capstone ministry of the word and works of Christ in the bride. I believe that we're seeing the ministry of the capstone word in the bride. I really do. I believe the bride is really getting a sense of, hey, if God's not going to do it, it's not going to be done. God's got to do it. See right there. Now, first of all, let us see the sonship or the ordinary facts of being a child of God is not the placing or the adoption of the manifestation of the sons of God. And to do this, we study the life of Jesus Christ, who is the last Adam, the first begotten from the dead. See? Talk about the first fruits. Then we go to the lump. Why? Because the lump follows the first fruits. See? So as I began this sermon tonight by saying, this morning, by saying, your doctrine identifies who you are, it declares who you are. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Gracious Father, we're so thankful, Lord, that you helped me get through this. And Father, we just bless you for it. And we ask that this would really be a blessing to the people. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Bless you.